الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. قل ما أسألكم عليه من أجر إلا من شاء أن يتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا. الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام are sent primarily for the good of mankind. مَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. They are a blessing, they are a mercy, and they come primarily for the good of mankind. And Allah Ta'ala in His wisdom blesses the Anbiya alayhi wasalam with the greatest of knowledge. Knowledge pertaining to this life, knowledge pertaining to the hereafter. So with the best knowledge, they are coming for the good of mankind. So that what they will know about the man, what is good for this temporary fleeting life, and what is good for the eternal life, will be known best by the Anbiya alayhi salam. So the message is, دَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. He wants to bring you to Allah Ta'ala, bring you right, not to the entrance of Jannat, but right in the middle of Jannat, in fact, in the heights of Jannat. So this is the whole purpose of the Nabi coming in, that he wants to lead you to Jannat and see that you are secure in the highest levels of Jannat. So he says, alayhi min ajr, I don't ask you for any remuneration. This is a mission I've come for, no remuneration. But yes, man sha'a yattakhidha ila rabbihi sabila. My whole effort, my endeavor is that the one that wants to come to Allah Ta'ala, I want to bring him or to lead him. Like a loving father will say to his children after he's given them all his properties, his wealth and all that. So he says, I don't want any remuneration from this. What I would like to see is I would like to see you eating, enjoying, and living happy lives. This is my reward, this is my return. So the return of the Nabi is that he wants to see you happy. And when he sees you happy, then he feels fulfilled, he feels satisfied, and he feels that the mission has been accomplished. And to see you in difficulty, azizun alayhi ma anittum. He finds it very difficult to see you in problems and in difficulties. So understand the mission of a Nabi, understand the status of the Nabi, that he is most knowledgeable, he is most understanding, and his knowledge covers this life and the next life. And after he's been blessed with all that knowledge, now this is his whole mission in that, for your own good. Not for his personal good, for your good. He wants to take you. So then, when he comes in, then he will show and he will guide. So these are the things that you need to do. If you do it, inshallah, you will have a good ending and you will have a good transcending as well. The next life, that will be good. Ending will be good as well. But the Nabi also comes to warn you. مُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا. To give you good news, but also to warn. Otherwise, if it's just one-sided, then the mission is incomplete. You just shove it, but you don't show us the other side. If we don't do, if we fail to do it, then what's going to be the consequence? Then you'll say that the Nabi's work was deficient. But he came to show both. This is the consequence and the good ending if you are obeying, and if you are not obeying, then this is going to be the consequence. So now, the Nabi is complete, he is perfect, he is comprehensive, the mission is comprehensive, there is no deficiency. Another force, an evil force, and the evil force, its whole idea is لَسُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ. The idea is to mislead you, to distract you, to divert you from Allah Ta'ala, to move you away from Allah Ta'ala, to move you away from Jannat, to move you away from the goodness of this life and the goodness of the next life. Then, when you understand that this is the message of the Nabi, then in essence, what is the actual message? تُخْرِجَ الْإِبَادُ مِنْ إِبَادَةِ الْإِبَادُ إِلَىٰ We have come here only for this purpose, to pull you out, of worshipping and obeying and becoming enslaved to this world. What's happened now, you come into this realm and you become enslaved. Sometimes you are enslaved to wealth, that if I get this amount, then I'm all right. I'm secure, I'm financially secure, then I'm all right. Materially I'm secure, then it's all right. So then, to reach up to that material, any type of sacrifice is all right. So as though we have worshipped that material. One is the one that is worshipped an idol, so he's also worshipped something material. A thing that is material. But the Nabi has come to pull you out of this. This material is material, it's got a beginning, it's got an end. When it's got a beginning, it's got an end, then when it's going to be ending, then it's going to leave you in a terrible state, in a disaster. You will be really, really a disaster. That I gave everything for this, and now at the end I see that this thing that I've given my best, I give my life, my wealth, my goodness, my energy I give, and the 11th hour, that thing just deserts me. So the man feels extremely disappointed. One person had spent approximately 10 million rand on his child's education. So the child became a specialist, one of his kind in the country. And then he started the practice, and he was doing roaring business. He was one of the kind, can't find a person like him at that level of competence, you can't find, no replacement. And he's making it. Father is bloating and gloating, see my father, my child, and I spent so much, and seeking half a million. So really, it was a worthwhile investment. But in the end of the first year, the child contracted some type of an illness. The doctors all gave up. And the father is sitting at his bedside, crying away, my dear son, I spent so much on you. And then to see that you are ending up like this. I spent my wealth, my time, my family life, everything to see that you are secure so that you could have a good life. And then you could also be a center for the family, something to be proud about. But now all my dreams have all been smashed down. I don't see you recovering. That's what the doctors say. And they say you just got about 2 months left and now no future I've got. So the son speaks to the father in that state whilst he's about to leave the world. So he says to the father, Abba, you don't cry about the financial loss. You cry over the fact that you have brought a loss to my hereafter. You taught me the circular education, you taught me how to progress, and I did progress in this 1 year or so, I did progress tremendously. But you, in the process, you distracted me from my actual cause. My actual cause was Allah Ta'ala, my actual cause was Jannat, my actual cause was to meet Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala in a way that I am pleased and He is pleased. But I can see now, I can see realities coming before me. And you have left me in a terrible, in a very miserable, dangerous plight you have left me. So you cry over this, not over the fact that you incurred such a financial loss. No, you have incurred an eternal loss. The dunya is gone, akhirat is gone, both have gone. So the nature of this world is like this, that nothing can be guaranteed, not your health, not your wealth, not even your behavior. What the future holds for you? Can you guarantee your wealth? Can you guarantee your health? Can you guarantee your behavior, what it's going to be like? Your status and symbol in life, can you guarantee that? Nothing can be guaranteed. Today, you're the hero, and tomorrow you're gone. You know, you look at this, sports stars, etc., right? And then, until they are in that Super League, the whole world talks about them. But then the life of a sportsman is only till about 35, 38. After that, he has to retire. Whether he likes it or he doesn't like it, but he has to give up the career. Now, until he was in the show business, the whole world was talking about, oh, so-and-so, do you know him? You haven't heard of this person here. You know what he's worth. But the moment he reaches that age of retirement, and he's nowhere, he comes to the masjid, he comes to walk in the street, he's not recognized, nobody recognizes him, nobody sees him. So this is the deceptive life of this world. Whilst you're in the show business, then everybody talks about you, everybody bloats and gloats about you, everybody's praising you. But the moment you're gone, khalas, nobody talks about you. So therefore Allah Pak says, وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرُ أَبَقَى. If you need to invest, then invest in the hereafter. Why? Because that's eternal. It doesn't have an expiry date. Everything that is besides the akhirat, besides the hereafter, has got an expiry date. And when there's going to be a separation, really it's going to be a very painful, it's going to be a very painful separation. When you see the hereafter before you, with your eyes, as we are promised and we believe, and you see it before you, and you see that separation moment, what I've done, my energy, my wealth, my reputation, I have given all for this, to see this type of a separation is leaving me in this state, really, really is not worth the while. So the thing to invest in is this. This is the thing to invest, that hereafter. Then you get one response, and the response is from those that are opposed to the life of the hereafter. Then the one type of opposition is, they will say, in hiya illa hayatun ad-dunya namutu wa nahya wa ma nahnu bimab'uthin. See, this is just this present life. There is no such a thing like the hereafter. There is no such a thing that hereafter, aidha mitna wa kunna turabun wa idhaman aina la mab'uthun. It's a far-fetched dream. Because when we are decomposed and then turn into soil, will we be risen for the second time? Not realizing that before you could come up onto this earth, you were soil. You go and analyze yourself, what were you before you came in? Before you were ushered into this world, a particle of water, that's what it was. Now, you've returned to that, and for Allah Ta'ala to reconstruct that, He's done it once, you've seen it, your whole structure is of soil, you're coming back again of soil. So what's so impossible, what's so far-fetched about it? So these are the type of responses that the people of righteousness will receive, that hereafter is just a far-fetched dream, don't worry about it. It is just something, and if you get to the hereafter, it's just a lucky packet. You know, it's your luck, you get it. So there's no such a thing. No such a thing like a lucky packet. If you are lucky, you get it, and if you're not lucky, then you miss it out. Otherwise, that would mean that the whole mission of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam was useless. Because if it depends on risk, you know, on your luck and fortune, and you get it, then what was the need for Allah Ta'ala to send the Anbiya? He sent the Anbiya that you can really invest correctly. You know where to invest, where to work. Allah complains about man. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِهِمْ غَافِلُونَ. Things pertaining to this life, we've learnt it very well. This will bring the profit, this will bring the loss. If I do this, this is what I will gain, lose. So that you've understood very well. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. How this world functions. And unfortunately, then our minds begin to work the same way. So if it is something about a good fortune, we talk about it, this investment, that. Or if it is someone involved in fraudulent affairs, they will be very much against him. Worse than the person that is taking interest. He's in fraud, we'll bring the whole roof down. Why is fraudulent? But if the man is his interest, or he's going to the casino, or now and then he's just messing around with women, or maybe not very actively, we don't take it very strongly. But this will take it very strongly. Why? It relates to the thing that we love. It's dear to our hearts. That is why Rabia Basariya, so she was the saint of the time. And two men came in to take blessings, advice from her. And they were speaking out against the dunya. The dunya has led us to cursing, etc., etc. So she asked them, please, would you mind if I tell you that get up and move away? Now, they are wondering within themselves that we didn't do anything wrong. We spoke out against the dunya. And then this woman is asking us to get up and leave. Hazrat, we do obey and we do listen to you. But we just want to know what's the connection. That we spoke out against the dunya and you asked us to get up and leave. So what's the connection? What's the link? So that if we know, then there won't be a repeat of this wrong that we have committed. She said, see, if the disliked and hated in your sight, really, really, then you wouldn't even have spoken about it. Like how number two, feces, you don't hear people speaking about it. They hate it, but they don't speak about it. Why they dislike it? So if it was something detestable, you wouldn't have spoken about it. But it seems like it's not detestable in your eyes and your heart as it's supposed to be. Therefore, you are speaking about it. That it's like this, and it's like this place in your heart where you just detest it at that level. You've got some place in your heart for it. So that means you're saying something, but your heart is not in agreement. The heart is in disagreement. You say it's mal'oon, ad-dunya mal'oon, but does your heart also believe in that? If you had looked at it, if your heart had looked at it with that type of contempt, then you wouldn't have been speaking about the dunya like this. So the actual place to be investing is the hereafter. So the whole message, the mission of the Anbiya alayhi salam is about this. Don't get caught into this. It's just a trap. You'll miss one trap, you'll get into the next trap, and the world will carry on like a circle. People before you also, they also thought the same way, you know, we'll do something and our children will be secure. So you think in the same way our children will be secure. What guarantee have you got? Any guarantee? So the only guarantee, وَعَتَسِيمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, hold on to that string of Allah Ta'ala, and that's a guarantee thing. لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا, that thing never snaps, it never breaks. Everything else, it's there today, tomorrow it's gone. Today there's a friendship, tomorrow it's hatred. Today you love the person, you adore the person, and tomorrow you are pulled apart. So everything that's material, everything that belongs to this world, nothing can be guaranteed. So if you want yourself to be guaranteed, then hold to that rope. But now, in order to reach up to that, what's over here? Ji? So 20 minutes. In order to reach, the system of this world is that you don't, you need to have someone to direct you, to lead you up. Like you need your child to be educated, then you would send the person to a tutor, to a school, to a university, that he must be educated. Exactly the same, if you want righteousness, then someone must tutor you, someone must initiate you. If you, it's just speculation. No, I think I'm doing the right. I think I saw one dream, it's right. So I'm right, why I saw the dream? Why, that's not the criterion. It's not the gauge. Then what is the gauge? So the Quran criterion is a dream. It will show Ibadur Rahman, that the true servants of the gracious, who are they? Why did Allah choose to say, the servants of Rahman, the servant, my servant, why did he choose to say? That if you want to know what is the way, what the righteous way to reach up to a realm that is absolutely guaranteed, that will never fail, then you will follow the cue, take the cue from these people here. So Allah Ta'ala starts up, He enlists them, He speaks about them. Ibadur Rahman. Alladhina yamshuna al-ardi hawna. So the first description Allah gives of them is they are humble within themselves. When even they walk, in their walk there's so much of humility. They don't think, there's no airs about themselves, no pride, and no arrogance, because they know nothing in this world is guaranteed. I'm not guaranteed. My piety is not guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. When nothing is guaranteed, can I be proud of myself? Yes, you can be proud of yourself over something that is absolutely guaranteed, and the only guaranteed thing is the hereafter. That's guaranteed. Once you are there, then there's no reverse permanently. So that's what once you reach there. But until you haven't reached, can you be proud? Then you just have to be humble. So Allah is showing the first description, يَمْشُونَ الْأَرْضِ هُونَ. Second is, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That's a description of the righteous as enlisted by the Quran Sharif. When a jahil, an ignorant person, addresses them, then they say salam. Now, what does this mean? Jahiliyah in this context means either the person that doesn't know deen, doesn't know good character, doesn't know the teaching of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or in spite of him knowing it, he doesn't apply it. One is the person that is totally ignorant, doesn't know. And the other person is the one that knows about it, but he's not applying himself. So both, in the word of the Quran, both are jahils, both are ignorant. So وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. So if someone is behaving with them with aggression, impolite, not kind, then what is the response? If the response is that tit for tat, you shout at me, I will shout at you. You are evil to me, I will be evil towards you. Is that the response? What do you get out of it? He'll be raising his voice, you'll be raising your voice. You will try and show that my argument is better, weightier, and he will do the same. So this, you won't get any closure. Sharif is showing what is the description of the righteous. Do they try to smash someone down? Or do they try and, in a situation, they try and rule in the debate or the discussion, let them be supreme? Is that the response? No. وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Time, they look for a respectable whole situation to avoid. Yes, salamia means avoid, but avoiding with respect and dignity. Now look at the style of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. That's the best of all the Sahaba Kiram after Anbiya alayhi salam. He's the best. Nobody like him. Someone tried to engage him. You like this, and you did like this. In every community, you're going to get someone. All are not going to be praising you. Someone is going to disgrace you. Someone's made his life's mission to find faults. Not his faults, others' faults. That they made it their life mission. So Abu Bakr's response was, see, either I am right or you right. Either I am wrong or you wrong. If I am wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive me. And if you are wrong, may Allah Ta'ala forgive you. Now, can anybody add anything to this? But what a beautiful way to avoid. Now, this is the Quranic description of piety. May Allah give us the tawfiq.